Hello, this is Chris with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, March 20th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page, Loss Inspires Life-Saving Effort, Family Leading Smoke Alarm Blitz on Saturday, from Champaign. Christian Sheehan turned 23 just 2 days before he died in a house fire in Champaign a year ago. On Saturday, his family and many of their friends will mark what could have been his 24th birthday by trying to give others a life-saving present. Smoke alarms. A smoke alarm blitz is scheduled from about 9 to noon in the neighborhood where he and another young woman died. A resident of 1802 Cypress Drive in Champaign, Mr. Sheehan died March 26, 2016, after being overcome by smoke in an early morning fire at the rental home. Sarah Schuler, 26 of Champaign, a guest of another resident, also died as a result of the fire. Although the cause of the fire at the house, which was raised in late February, was never determined, Champaign fire investigators learned there were no working smoke detectors in the single-story house. Firefighters were called to the house at the corner of Cypress Drive and Mattis Avenue at 4:16 a.m. They found heavy smoke and fire in one of the occupants outside. A fire investigator's final report obtained by the News Gazette said that that man outside, whose name was redacted, had only recently moved in. He went to bed about 2:30 a.m. and was awakened by someone screaming "Hay" and fire. He crawled out of the smoke-filled house, banged on a neighbor's door, yelled outside Mr. Sheehan's bedroom window, and honked his car horn to try to wake those inside. The neighbor, hearing the commotion, called 911 and tried to enter the house but couldn't see in front of him because of the smoke. The neighbor reported someone else yanked him back out. Firefighters pulled Mr. Sheehan and Ms. Schuler from the house. Mr. Sheehan was pronounced dead within an hour, and Ms. Schuler lived about 13 hours before passing. The report said another resident of the house who had spent the night at his girlfriend's home told fire investigators there were no working smoke alarms in the house. He stated that there had been one still in the package on the north wall, hanging from a hook, but he had not seen it in a while. He stated he did recall a carbon monoxide detector in the house near the washer-dryer, but does not know if it worked. That issue is the subject of ongoing litigation by the parents of Mr. Sheehan and Ms. Schuler against the landlord, Anthony Beamart, a Champaign-based real estate appraiser. Wrongful death suits were filed in late September and November, respectively, against Beamart on behalf of Robert and Joy Sheehan and Monica and Dwayne Schuler. It's also the reason for Saturday's effort. Although they declined to be interviewed for this story, the Sheehans have channeled their grief into something positive by helping with education efforts about the critical importance of working smoke detectors. On February 18th, the couple and two of their three daughters took part in knocking on doors and helping to install detectors for neighbors of Laura Wills, 53, who died in a house fire that started in her garage at 503 Swigart Street on February 10th. Firefighters could not even find a detector in her home. "We're trying to find some good in bad," Joy Sheehan said that day. "I can't believe people don't have smoke alarms. Your sense of smell shuts down when you sleep." She described the Champaign Fire Department as a second family to them in the wake of their tragedy. Deputy Fire Marshal Janet Maupin said the Sheehans have enlisted about 65 volunteers to help in Saturday's effort, including getting Rosati's Pizza and Einstein Brothers Bagels to donate food for the volunteers. They convene at 8:30 a.m. at the Free Methodist Church, 1913 South Mattis Avenue, for a bit of training and coordination before heading out in three-member teams. Maupin explained that each team will have a documentator to handle paperwork, including the smoke alarms manuals, an installer to put a smoke detector in each sleeping room, and one combination smoke carbon monoxide alarm in each common area, and an educator to talk with families about having an escape plan in the event of fire. Fire officials have targeted about 225 homes in that area. Informational hangers were put on doors over the weekend to let residents know about the Saturday blitz. "I'm hoping if we get in half of those homes, and if we put on an average of four alarms in each, that would be a lot," Anyone in that area who wants a free smoke detector and isn't available Saturday is asked to call the fire department at 217-403-7200 to schedule an installation. Also on the front page, we'll see if she's got the voice. University of Illinois alumna Micah Triba is not every woman at all, but she's in a good position to advance on The Voice. She sang I'm Every Woman, a la Whitney Houston, not Chaka Khan's original version, to win a place on Blake Shelton's team for upcoming episodes on the NBC reality show. Triba, 24, has put her veterinary studies at the U of I on hold in hopes of making the big time, something she's always dreamed of. She had a change of heart for a while after her golden retriever Lucy died, and she decided that saving animals was her new priority. Toward that end, she earned a degree in animal science here in 2015 and entered veterinary school. They were nice enough to hold a place for me while I try this out. She said she won't be on The Voice this week as teams are pared down in blind auditions, but next Monday or Tuesday could show up as part of Team Sheldon. They'll give her a few days' notice. Friends from her singing days with No Comment on the Urbana campus are totally behind her. No Comment president Mark Schreyer said he could see her growing as an artist. Micah was always incredibly passionate about No Comment and about music. She was always working hard while she was in the group to put out the best product and no doubt has an amazing solo voice. It doesn't surprise me in the least that she made it on The Voice. She started singing in church as a very young kid, then did community musical theater and high school plays at Wheaton West. My mom and grandmother sing too, she said. Why I'm Every Woman? Whitney was played very heavily in the house when I was growing up. She's always been my number one. I feel like she had a voice that comes around once every generation. She made everything sound effortless, but she was rising into the stratosphere. And evidently, Triba does a good version of the song. The judge reactions were pretty amazing. They had some really good pointers. Also from Champaign, from one hot spot to another. Iowa native Scott Conan went to sea and saw a lot of the world, particularly those places where an American could get shot at. The Marine Corporal was in Lebanon in 1983, just before a terrorist bombing that killed 241 U.S. service personnel at a Marine barracks. He served just south of the demilitarized zone in the Korean Peninsula, in the Philippines, not far from communist insurgents, and in Somalia when warlords were cutting up the country. The same places that were hot spots then are hot spots now, he says. Now at the University of Illinois Library, Conan, 53, says he was not a great high school student, no particular direction, and not ready for college when he enlisted at 17. He had to have his parents sign the forms. He said his father helped motivate him. He told me I wouldn't make it. After boot camp in San Diego in 1981, he trained as a radio operator. I'd wanted to be an infantryman. I ended up being an infantryman, only with more equipment to carry. But he says it was important in his development that he was buying in for something. You have to make a decision at some point that you want to be part of something bigger than yourself. His first deployment took his unit to Okinawa, Japan, Thailand, on Liberty in Hong Kong, and in the Soup in South Korea. All that travel changed him, he says. I learned that different does not equal wrong. In his second deployment, he and his friends thought that they were getting a sweet deal out of Hawaii, an air wing instead of ground section. Air wing has it easy. You're not humping in the jungle. But he ended up with a tough assignment after all, in an amphibious brigade. He served as a forward air controller, guiding fire by planes or choppers from the ground, sometimes pretty close to the line of fire. This was before there was GPS. Coneman said used coordinates, not computers. In his deployment, he was sent to northern Lebanon. It had been one of the most beautiful spots on the Mediterranean. In one direction, he had a beautiful view of the sea, and when he turned around, there was rubble everywhere. The duty was dangerous. Helicopters brought in bombs, 3,000 pounds per pallet, to retrofit to ancient British attack aircraft, then in use by Lebanese forces. The planes used a coastal highway for a landing strip, and Coleman's team was based on an old tennis court in view of Drew's fighters in the mountains who had rocket-propelled grenades. A Lebanese man brought the Marines coffee in an elaborate service and thanked them for being there. In all the uproar, this guy was still trying to have good manners. That coffee set was destroyed when a rocket-propelled grenade blew up not far from the group. Coleman served 4 years and might have stayed in. He had a letter from Ronald Reagan giving him a presidential appointment to Annapolis, the prestigious Naval Academy, but failed the physical just because he had bad color vision. After leaving the Marines, Coleman bummed around Hawaii and Southern California, then enrolled at Drake University, where he met his future wife, Nancy. They have a son, Quinn. The Marine called his 4 years the best and worst experiences of my life. And from the local page, Taffy's Cafe closes doors, from Muhammad. Sandy Jones arrived early Saturday to meet a friend at Taffy's Cafe at 12:30 p.m., but it didn't matter. A sign on the door said only closed for business. The restaurant on Muhammad's Main Street had opened in December 2015 in its current location. Its phone number was disconnected and the owners did not return a call on Saturday. In a 2015 News Gazette story, co-owner Nate Van Maitre and his father Jeremy Van Maitre said the cafe at 608 East Main Street should be ready to open hopefully no later than 2 weeks from now, across from Sangamon Elementary School. He said it would be similar to the old Taffy's, which was at Country Fair Shopping Center in Champaign, but with improvements. One change would be a variety of espressos and lattes. Old Gelt's noon chimes will go silent. Afternoon music will take a hiatus during tower repairs, from Champaign. On September 26, 2012, the Old Gelt chimes fell silent to raise awareness for the deaf community. Other than that one instance, no one can remember the last time the chimes weren't played on the University of Illinois campus. That changes today. When safety and accessibility repairs on the tower begin, the first repairs to the chimes in recent memory, U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler said. I don't know that it has been updated. Volunteers have played the chimes weekdays during the noon hour since they were installed in 1920. During the repairs, they'll continue to play automatically every quarter hour. Mathematics Department Chair Matt Ando, who works in the same building as the chimes, said he'll miss hearing them. It's a very nice thing to have the chimes going off. It reminds you of where you are and gives you a sense of place. You'll hear show tunes, famous songs. They like to play the theme from Harry Potter. Asked whether they're ever too loud, Ando said he's never found them distracting. It's much less loud than the bell that tells us that classes are changing. The university doesn't know how long repairs will last or how much they'll cost. The repairs will be paid for with campus funds and will improve the tower stairs and low headroom, among other updates. It's part of a larger project to update Old Gelt Hall and Illini Hall, which houses the mathematics and statistics departments. The bell tower updates are indicative of the work needed on the entire building. The condition of the chimes is a little bit of a canary in a coal mine. That particular area is in particularly bad shape, but the whole building hasn't been renovated since the 1950s, and it's showing wear and tear everywhere. TV sitcom legend coming to see you, a 2016 nominee for Best Actress, will also be in attendance, from Champaign. Norman Lear, whose 1970s sitcoms were major cultural forces, will be a guest at the 19th annual Roger Ebert's Film Festival. Also coming, French actress Isabelle Huppert, who was a 2016 Oscar Best Actress nominee for the film Elle, directed by Paul Verhoeven. That movie will be among the 12 to be screened at Ebert Fest, set for April 19th through the 23rd at the Virginia Theater. Now 94 years old, the Emmy-winning Lear will be here with Norman Lear, Just Another Version of You, a 2016 documentary about him. It features interviews with Lear, George Clooney, Jon Stewart, Rob Reiner, Amy Poehler, and Phil Rosenthal. The directors of the Lear documentary, Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady, will also be guests, as well as Brent Miller, producer of the documentary, as well as of the Lear sitcom One Day at a Time. They and Lear will participate in the post-screening question and answer session on the Virginia stage. Chaz Ebert, co-founder, executive producer, and MC of EbertFest, said Lear was responsible for placing more black characters in primetime network series than any other single person in the history of television. His insistence on using comedy to tackle real issues of the day, such as racism, abortion, and feminism, changed the face of television. Among the shows Lear created were All in the Family, Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time, The Jeffersons, Good Times, and Maude. Over his long career, he won multiple awards, among them a Career Achievement Award from the Television Critics Association and a star on the Walk of Fame. And Archie Bunker, the lead character in All in the Family, played by Carol O'Connor, became a flashpoint in American culture. The name Archie Bunker was often used to refer to a bigot. As if Lear's groundbreaking television work wasn't enough, he also bought one of the original copies of the Declaration of Independence and toured it around the country so that people of all ages and races could touch it and read it and contemplate the principles upon which this country was founded. Recently, Miller convinced Lear to return to television after a 20-year absence by rebooting and producing One Day at a Time for Netflix. The new version has a Latino woman at its center rather than a white woman. Since her debut in 1971, Huppert has appeared in 100 films and television productions. In France, she received 16 César Awards nominations, making her the most nominated actress for the National Film Award. She plays the lead in Elle, a psychological thriller written by David Burke, adapted from the novel O by Philippe Dejean. Ebert said the 2017 EbertFest is dedicated to four principles that are more vital than ever: empathy, compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. It is these principles, particularly the first one, which Roger believes cinema could generate through the ingenuity of its craft. That is why I am also dedicating the festival to the Champaign County Alliance for the Promotion of Acceptance, Inclusion, and Respect, a group dedicated to challenging preconceived notions about mental illness, addressing discrimination against people with developmental and intellectual disabilities, and assisting people with substance use disorders. By removing the stigmas associated with one's identity, this organization stands as an indelible force of empathy in society. More guests, films, and the full festival schedule will be released in the coming weeks. Festival passes are $150 each and on sale at the Virginia Theater box office, 203 Park Avenue, or by phone at 217-356-9063. A four-pack of passes is $510. A pass for a U of I student is $100. Individual tickets go on sale starting April 1st at the Virginia. They are $15 for adults and $13 for students and senior citizens. The academic panel discussions, not yet announced, will be at the Hyatt Place in downtown Champaign rather than the Illini Union on campus. Man arrested again for allegedly firing from car from Urbana. A Champaign man acquitted of murder 6 weeks ago in an incident in which an innocent bystander was killed by a shot from a passing car is back in police custody for allegedly firing a gun from a car. On Thursday morning, Champaign police arrested Shamario D. Brown, 19, who listed an address in the 400 block of West Bradley Avenue, on preliminary charges of reckless discharge of a firearm, unlawful use of a weapon, and aggravated battery. Another man found with him at the location in West Champaign, Kenichi Townsend, 21, of the 1300 block of West Beach Street, Urbana, was also arrested on a preliminary charge of unlawful use of weapons. Champaign Police Sergeant David Griffiths said the arrest stemmed from a call that shots had been fired from a car early Tuesday in the 500 block of South Staley Road. At 3:25 a.m., a person at the Marathon Bulk Plant on Staley saw a car drive past and noticed a front seat passenger fire a weapon into the air. The man said he heard two shots. patrol officers found a 40 caliber bullet casing in that area. They then headed to the nearby apartment complex on Colleen Drive, where they found a warm car in spite of the cold early morning weather. Outside the car on the ground was a cigar wrapper and other garbage. Officers located the car owner, who said she knew nothing of anyone driving it recently. She gave them permission to search it. Griffith said no gun was found, but police found a holster in the glove compartment. Griffith said based on these things and what the officers saw in that apartment, officers on the next shift went to the nearby Circle K on Springfield Avenue and obtained video showing Brown and Townsend in the station 10 minutes prior to the shots being fired. They also learned that the pair bought items at the station consistent with what officers saw in the car owner's apartment and outside her car on the ground. Lieutenant Dave Schaefer credited the work of patrol officers who responded to the initial call. He said investigators were able to build on their information to get enough to obtain a search warrant for an apartment on Colleen off Staley Road, which they served Thursday morning. They recovered two guns in Brown and Townsend, and two other people were brought into the Champaign Police Department for questioning. Only Brown and Townsend were arrested. State's Attorney Julie Reed said a loaded 40 caliber handgun was in the bedroom from which Townsend exited, and a loaded 9mm was in the bedroom where Brown had been. She said Townsend admitted that he and Brown had taken the car and were in the area driving, but Townsend denied firing shots. As Brown was being taken from the police department to be driven to the county jail, he allegedly kicked Sergeant Matt Henson in the leg. Schaefer said Henson was not seriously injured. On Friday, Reitz filed charges of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon by a felon against Townsend, who has a prior felony conviction for that same offense from 2014. He also has juvenile adjudications for criminal trespass to residence, disorderly conduct, and criminal defacement of property. If convicted, he faces 3 to 14 years in prison. Reitz filed one count of aggravated battery to a police officer and four counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon against Brown for allegedly kicking Henson and not having a firearm owner's identification card or a concealed carry permit for the gun. The weapons charges are Class 4 felonies, and if convicted, he could be sentenced to a penalty ranging from probation to 1 to 3 years in prison. The aggravated battery charge carries penalties ranging from probation to 3 to 7 years in prison upon conviction. After spending about 7 months in the county jail, Brown was released February 3rd, shortly after a jury acquitted him of the June 12, 2016 murder of Erica Cox Bailey, 30, near the intersection of Francis Drive and McKinley Avenue. Prosecutors believe she was hit by gunfire from a weapon that Brown fired from the back seat of a passing car. Co-defendants O'Shea Cotton and Takerio Green, whose cases are unresolved, testified that Brown shot out of the car window at a Rantoul teen walking on Francis. He was not hit, but Miss Cox Bailey was. Cotton and Green, both 19, are scheduled to be back in court April 18th. In 2015, Brown was acquitted three times in three different shooting cases, twice by a jury and once when a judge threw out the case before it got to the jury for lack of proof. Police said several eyewitnesses refused to say in court what they had told law enforcement during earlier interviews. Back to the front page, we're going to win. Brad Underwood arrives with a 6-year, $18 million plus deal from Champaign. All three of Brad Underwood's children were born in Illinois during his decade as an assistant coach at the Western Illinois University. His son Tyler's first basketball jersey was that of former Illini standout Brian Cook, a story Underwood said he likes to tell all the time. Underwood now makes his return to the state, hired as the 18th coach in Illini basketball program history on Saturday. "I've got tremendous love for the state of Illinois and for this program," Underwood said late Saturday afternoon after arriving in Champaign from Stillwater, Oklahoma. "Having spent 10 years in Illinois, I got a true appreciation for how great this program is and how important basketball is." Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman had his first in-person meeting with Underwood on Saturday morning. Mere hours later, he was officially making his third coaching hire in just more than a year on the job, hiring Underwood away from Oklahoma State. "It's been a pretty wild few days," Whitman said. "We had our first in-person conversation this morning. Things have happened pretty quickly. It's all unfolded in a hurry. I can't be appreciative enough for Brad and his family for trusting us and choosing to take this step with us." Full contract details have not been finalized, but according to a source close to the program, Underwood would receive a 6-year contract valued at more than $3 million per season. Underwood made $1 million this season at Oklahoma State, part of a 5-year contract worth $6.3 million. Underwood spent just this past season at Oklahoma State and guided the Cowboys to an 8-win improvement to go along with an NCAA tournament berth. Omaha State lost in the first round to Michigan on Friday in Indianapolis. "I think there's not many places I would do that for," Underwood said. "For this one, absolutely, and not many other places I would even consider for that. The Big Ten is a special conference, Illinois basketball is special, and the timing was absolutely perfect." Whitman said several factors played into his decision. Underwood's proven track record as a coach, he's 109-27 in 4 seasons as a head coach, played a role. "We're going to win," Underwood said. "Illinois basketball is special. It's one of the elite programs in the country. I have so much respect for the high school coaches in this state. I have so much respect for the fan base. I've been in that arena when it's packed, and we deserve to be great." We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, March 20th. Please stay tuned.